From Crazy Hood Productions, I'm Jay Havana, and this is Family Ties. Today's episode is about Crazy Hood member Orlando, but to his friends, he's known as Landy Lakes. With his gift of gab, he could sell ice to an Eskimo. Supporting his brother Heckler and the rest of the Crazy Hood was instrumental in the success of the crew. From Chicago, where he discovered hip-hop, to Kendall, where he would team up with the Hoods and help put Miami hip-hop on the map. Always authentic, always crazy.
Another day, another dollar, my story to tell. Another failed piss test, I'm back to jail. Jail cells overcrowded with killers and thieves. Couldn't work, motherfuckers, roll up your sleeves. I'm Comptown representer, I'm letting them know. I keep it hood with a nigga, so hand me my dough. I don't play when it comes to bread or the raps. Instead, get the killer motherfucker till his vocals dead. My crazy hood overthrowing, shut up. Nigga, you see the pistol showing from the CPT. Down with EFN, between the beef and the peace, local line is thin. The real and the fake, couple lies get in. Couple of stripper holes where your snaps to see.
So, who's Orlando, and where are you from? Tell me about yourself.
Well, those who know me best know me as Landy Lakes.
Okay.
Born in Chicago, Illinois. Middle child, two of the best brothers in the world. You know, you got to say that. You got to give a shout-out to your brothers.
For sure.
You know, we... Chicago living, baby. I mean, what can I say, man? You know, we were raised up in the North Side. It was just, you know, my pops left early. I was probably about maybe 3 years old. And, you know, from that point forward, you know, Mom Dukes let us know straight up. She was like, yo, you guys are the men. You know, your job is to protect me and, you know, make sure you guys are good. You're always your brother's keeper, no matter what. You feel me? So that's one of the biggest things as a little kid. My mom's always just feeling that shit.
Right.
You know, we were walking to school mad well, because my mom's was working her ass off. Now, dude, that's one thing I give my mom's props on. You can sit back as a dude right now and be like, damn, I grew up in a rough neighborhood or we did this, but yo, my mom gave us everything. Straight up everything. There was nothing that we never needed. There was nothing that we ever wanted that my mom's deuce would not run out and get. So, you know, we were definitely privileged kids.
Right.
And I definitely appreciate that. You feel me? And having the opportunity to grow up, you know, having my little brother and my older brother, we already had that means of protection. We never let anything get in between us till this day. You know, we super tight, always showing love, always making sure that we reach out to each other. But, you know, we were in some of the baddest neighborhoods. You know, I had our pops and my uncles, they were all Latin kings, and then my mom's brothers and my whole other side of the family were Maniac Latin Disciples, Vice Lords. So we always had to pick certain blocks of where we could be picked up at, where we could be dropped off at, because you couldn't just roll up in the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, in order to, that's messed up, man. You can't go to your own neighborhood and drop off your kids. You know, obviously, I got to drop them off the block ahead and let them run that block so they can get to the crib.
Right.
And, you know, that was like the shit from 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, we running. I just remember most of my childhood running through the blocks because we knew what blocks we couldn't be on. We, you know, even as a kid, when you watch these movies and you see these kids running from these blocks, like trying to get away from the drug dealers and the gang members, that shit was real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shit was real, you know, because when we see movies like that, we're like, yo, we remember those days. And the worst was when it was snowing outside. We had these, you ever seen the one movie, Christmas Story, where his little brother is running down the street, he's got a little puffy jacket on, looks like a little starfish.
Gotcha.
Trying to catch up with his brother down the block. That's how it was. You couldn't get away from anybody. You know, you can run so fast in the winter clothes, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
So, you know, this is the lifestyle we were dealing with where, you know, we're running from school, home, every single morning, you know what I mean? No matter what the weather was like, you know, and like I said, luckily for us, there was three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to help each other out of these times and stuff like that, and that's what kind of made Chicago that much better. But, you know, my mom finally got up and moved to Claremont, and, you know, at this point in time, we got our Pumas, our, you know, some of the jumpsuits, and we were on the block, and I remember my brother had brought it up in the last interview about the little dance crew that we had. I think he had the name wrong. It was called the Faker Breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And your brother,
for the record, it's Heckler, right?
Yeah, my brother's Heckler. So I'm like a Charlie Murphy of the group. You know what I'm saying? Originally, everybody knew me because of my brother originally. You know what I'm saying? So I had to find my own mark after that point. But,
Gotcha.
But when we moved out to Claremont, you know, we were the type of kids that we would actually bring out our cardboard boxes with us.
Nice.
You know, we had the big old boom boxes that we would be able to walk, you know, and at that point in time, the reason why I laugh now is, you know, when you're 4 or 5 years old, and you're walking around with a radio the size of yourself, but you know it weighs more than you. And you know, we were so cool, we didn't have laces on our tools. You know, you'd be crunching up your feet to hold your shoes on and walking around the block. And, you know, and it was one of the best times. I smile when I talk about it because I remember it just so vividly and how much fun it was to be able to be that carefree.
Right.
And be able to, you know, walk down the block, even though you would get a look from everybody because, you know, not everybody liked the same music.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd be walking down the block playing with your radio, and all of a sudden, if a song came on and you felt it, you put your cardboard down and just start going at it, no matter where you're at. You know, right now, you can't do that. You do that shit right now, you're getting arrested. You cause a scene, you're getting arrested.
Right. Back then,
it was the entertainment. People would see you with your boombox and your cardboard, they're like, I'm going to follow these dudes, so they put this down. They're about to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to us, that was like the shit to do. Like, you know, nobody came up to us and was like, you just got to break dance. Nobody taught us how to dance. Nobody taught us anything. We were just three brothers showing each other our moves and, you know, trying to be better than the older brother who would be the power block and acting with his windmills. Because I'm a chubbier one, you know, I don't I had to hold it down with the body movement because I couldn't do too much shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but, right.
You know, we had little kids on the block and our cousin Pee Wee would be doing suicides off of cars.
Right.
He's doing a backward flip and landing on his back. And, you know, we used to sit back and we thought we were the shit. We were like, you know, we could take on any crew.
Mm-hmm.
And, that, you know, just like now in every city in New York, you know, wherever you're at, it's block against block.
Right.
Even though it's a good thing, but it's block against block. You know, there wasn't ever no negative vibes, but, you know, except for Halloween when you're throwing eggs at each other and shit. But it was all good vibes. You know, we would go out, we would be in the middle of the alleyway, put our cardboard down and break dance against the next block over. You know, and to me, I love those days because although they were violent, although it was crazy in our neighborhoods, although all this madness was going on around us, the minute that music hit, it's like everybody came together. It was just a battle. And it wasn't a fighting battle. It was something that, you know, the music, your crew beat our crew, okay, cool, tomorrow we come back and try this again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what made it so sad for us when, you know, I'm about maybe 10, 11 years old when Mom Deuce comes up and was like, look, I got an opportunity to get y'all out of here. You don't have to deal with this gang shit. You ain't got to deal with all this bullshit. We're going to go out to Florida. And in my mind, I was like, Florida? The fuck is that? I go, why would I want to go to Florida? Chicago? They're like, no. And you know what's funny is when you're a kid, all your friends, all your peoples, that's like that. That's like tearing out your world. You feel me? So I had a lot of animosity against that. I was kind of pissed off because, you know, my pops, my other side of the family, I'm one of those type of dudes. I love family. I love my people around me. I love to be able to speak to everybody.
Right.
See how everybody's doing. So knowing that I was leaving Chicago kind of hit me pretty hard, man. I know that when we packed our bags and got everything ready, you know, we were about to head out, and I remember asking, like, yo, what about my pops?
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, look, you can always come back and see him. He can always come see you. It's not the end of the world. But to me, it was. You know, driving that miserable-ass drive 24 hours from Chicago all the way down to Florida was a big crazy for us, especially that we were in a Datsun hatchback with, you know, six people in it staring at the... All you can do is lay down and stare at the sky as it passes you by and shit.
Right.
And I remember, like it was yesterday, my dude, we driving and we get a flat tire in the middle of the mountains somewhere in Carolina or something. Dark as hell outside. And at this point in time, you know, Michael Jackson's the shit. And if you weren't listening to Michael Jackson, you had an issue.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the song comes on. Michael Jackson song comes on. And it's pitch black at night, and my older brother looks at me and starts singing, it's close to midnight. You know what I'm doing? Terrified. We're paranoid. We got the song on. We're on the side of the highway. We can't beat them. Join them. We're over here doing a Michael Jackson dance in the middle of the highway, fucking doing it up. And it was like the first part of the trip that I actually, like, even though I was terrified, that I was at least coming into getting a little bit more alive and saying, all right, cool, you got to make the best of what you got to do. made it that much better, but coming down the winter region of Florida, I look up, I see palm trees, I'm like, yo, streets are clean. I don't see no graffiti around. I wonder who runs this block. And, you know, all those questions that I had in my mind, because I'm thinking what colors you got to wear. Because in Chicago, you had to wear all your colors, blue, purple, red, orange, lavender, all in one set. You didn't want to come outside with this black and blue.
Right.
You want to come outside with black and red because that meant something out there. So out here, we're like, damn, we know what kind of clothes, colors you got to wear out here. What kind of clothes you got to wear out here? And it became to where, you know, that was my biggest worry is now we got to figure out who we got to run from out here. And not run as in, like, in a sense, in a girly way, in a fucked up way, but run, you know, because once again, when you come from Chicago where you feel like your life is in jeopardy every other day, here's you want to prepare yourself for it. You don't want to come out thinking shit sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at that time, we had never heard of Florida, so to us, it's just moving to another spot that's just like Chicago. So when we got out here, we started seeing all these palm trees, and, you know, we roll up on the block, and our first spot out here was off of Miller and 137th Ave. And I remember I looked around, like, oh, these blocks are humongous. Like, this isn't a block. This is a 3-mile fucking run right here.
Right.
And it kind of made us smile because my mom used to always be like, you can't leave the block. We're like, shit, we can't leave the block. We can keep on walking. This shit don't end.
Right.
This ain't no block. I was like, yo, let's do this. But it became tiring quick. Because, my dude, you walk out here, you walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Florida has no mercy. So, you know, out there, you know, before I walking around the block, the shit was too big. The shit was too hot. I would be complaining all the time about shit. And, you know, one thing that I know, that, and I feel bad to this day, I was a pain in the ass as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was a little fucker. I'll always be doing the stupid shit, trying to show out of school. And, you know, I remember starting Calusa Elementary, coming down here from Chicago, fifth grade. My dude, everybody, my mother's excited because everybody wants to be in the morning announcements. And I'm like, what the fuck are the morning announcements?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they put you on a big TV and they tell you you're the student of the week, and then you get a puzzle, you get some extra cookies. I'm just like, all right, well, I guess that's cool. That's why everybody's hyped up to be out here.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, you say that, so you're gonna get punched in the face. But, you right. know, out here, they're like, oh, it's the shit to be the fucking student of the week, so I'm gonna try to be the student of the week then,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me the teacher's pet. Let me, if that's what y'all think is cool, shit, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I tried my ass off, my dude, and finally the teacher's like, yo, you little crazy little fuck, you're finally student of the week. She was like, I'm so impressed by you. My mom, Deuce, was like, you're what? Nice. Proud of you. Way to go. Make sure you bring me that certificate and show me you're not lying, motherfucker. Make it happen. So I was excited. I get to school, and this is like 2 or 3 days after that whole, the shuttle with the teacher that was going up to the space and it blew up.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And, we were in class, man, and I remember this little kid next to me. He was like, yo, started making jokes about this shit. And I looked at him, I said, yo, my dude, like, what kind of stupid, who the fuck does that? It's 2 days later, you making jokes?
Mm-hmm.
And my man turns around to me and says, man, fuck you and your mother.
Whoa.
Now, this, yeah. And when you were a kid, you know, to me, everybody looked at me like, oh, with that look like, oh, he just said, and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, my dude, I don't know what happened to me, like, I snapped as a kid. I snapped. I drew a blank. I see my man get up. He's laughing. He grabs a little bathroom pass and walks out the room. Nobody noticed. And the teacher got the back to him. So I said, "Well, hold up. Shorty, you want to be funny?" So I get up and I pretend like I grabbed the fucking bathroom pass and I follow dude to the bathroom. I open the bathroom door. And my man's looking at me. He's like, "What?" With his face like, "What? What are you gonna do?" And in my mind, I'm like, if I punch this kid in the face, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still going for a punch. I Rochambeau'd the shit out of this dude and kicked him straight in his nuts. I was... My dude, the kid looking on the ground about maybe 4.5 inches, and ah, it hit the floor. I grabbed the bathroom pass and I went back to class. I put the bathroom pass on the thing. She sees me, she said, "Oh, you came to the bathroom." I said, "Yep." She sat down. She tells me, "All right, well, hey, they just called you to go to the office to do your morning announcements for student of the week." I said, "Cool." I get up out of the classroom. I go to the office. I'm on my interview. They're like, "Yo, you're the student of the week." I'm like, "That's right. I'm the baddest. What I do, straight A's, was popping." Next thing I know, you hear my name over the announcements. "Orlando, please come to the principal's office." I show up. My man is there crying. He's got a bag of ice on his nuts. My man's mom is there. The principal looks at me. He was like, "The same day as a student of the week." He was like, "I got to take that certificate from you." And I'm like, "You ain't taking my certificate. My mom told me to bring this shit back home."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Yo, you can't have the certificate anymore." You know, he was like, "Luckily for you, you already did the morning announcement, so I can't take it away from you. But you can't have the sheet of paper that tells you it's official." So that hurt me even more, because I'm like, "Damn, mom, dude, someone to bring this shit to the crib."
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know is my mom shows up to the school.
Mm.
Now, you never, as a Latin boy, you don't nobody want to see their mama show up to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you already know what time it is. I'm already crying. I'm like, "Oh, shit, she's going to fuck me up." She looked at me. I swear to you, my dude, I remember this beautifully. She looked at me. She was like, "I'm not going to whip your ass here. When we get home, you got something coming to you." But she laughed at me. She was like, "The same day? Like, you couldn't even wait a day?" Nigga, like, you know, you could whip his ass tomorrow and have a certificate. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And she took me home, my dude, and she was laughing the whole ride home. She was like, you know, she knew what was wrong. I knew what was wrong when I did.
Right.
But when I told her, because she asked me why I didn't do it, and when I told her, she looked at me with his face like, "Look, not everybody's going to have an opinion. Everybody's going to have something to say, but you can't react on every single person that doesn't see things your way or tells you something that's going to be disrespectful." And, you know, it small little things like that, my dude, is what you hold on to. Once again, it's the smallest little moments, things that you can look back and be like, "Damn, I remember learning this," or "I remember learning that." That was one of those moments for me where,
right,
you know, you could put your hands on everybody, no matter what people say, no matter what people do. It's not to put your hands on people. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, you had to hold your ground. Chicago, someone said something to you that made everybody else laugh. If you didn't fight that person, it'd be every day you dealt with that. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was one of those things where I had to deal with it on the spot. And you know, we learn our lessons as jits, and the smallest stupid things that we take with us are my moments. Everything that I've learned,
mm-hmm,
was a moment for that lesson, and it stuck with me too. In order for me to actually tell a story like I'm telling you,
mm-hmm,
that makes sense for you, the reason why you shouldn't do shit like that. You feel me?
Very true.
But you know, going from there, you know, I was here for fifth grade, middle of sixth grade, I went back to Chicago. I had to see my pops. I was going crazy. I was acting up. So my mom sent me back to Chicago with my pops. And now, this time it was a little crazier for me, because now I had to go into his neighborhood. You know, I had to be living where he was at. And he moved while we was gone in Miami, so I had to go to his new neighborhood. And that shit was even crazier. But once again, went back to the block, so I loved it. But then I missed my brother, so at the beginning of seventh grade, I came back to Miami again. At this point in time, we had helmets. You know, and this is when I'm meeting people like Jamie Green, Heavy D, the boys. Like, you know, these guys are, they're not CHP, but they still family. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these cats, you know, Anthony, you know, these dudes, we grew up with them, we rolled heavy, and I was getting to know everybody, like everybody. So one of the biggest things is, to me, was the most important, is that everybody not only knew me, respected me, but also knew who my brothers were and respected them. So if they ever saw him on the streets, if they ever see him anywhere, they showed him the same love and respect that they would show me. That was always important to me.
Right.
I remember always telling my little brother had this friend. It's like, I would always tell him, "Yo, if my brother ever gets into a fight and I find out you ain't jumped in for him, I don't care if it's 1-on-1, 7-on-1, I'm going to whip your asses and then go back and find the people who fought my brother."
Mm-hmm.
And people always look at me like, "Oh, you know, your brother's a grown-ass man. He can do his own battles." I'm like, "I don't give a shit. If he's in front of me and you want to set to my brother, you got to set. You have to go through me, because you're never going to make it." You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day with my older brother. You can't say shit to me and my brother Hector without my older brother looking at you like, you want to try that again? So, you know, we always grew up with that very defensive against a brother and respect my brothers. And that actually helped us out so much, because when we went through hammocks and me going back and forth from Chicago, man, I was doing that so much. Seventh grade back in Chicago, come back to the middle of eighth grade, from eighth grade go back to ninth grade. And I finally stopped hopping around from Chicago to Miami at about, I believe it was the ending of 10th grade, getting ready to go into 11th. And that's when I started meeting and formulating everybody that they'll be fucked with now. Was from that time period, was around the ending of 9th grade, 10th grade. You know, I knew everyone in school already.
Right.
And, coming back from Chicago the last time going into Sunset, I remember I'm walking with my little brother down the hallway, Hector, and some dude bumps into him. And I laughed a little bit, and the dude says, yo, you know, IMP, I feel this gangster. And I look at him, I said, this kind of caught me off guard. Once again, you hear it and you see it, but it was the first time that it was, like, thrown at us, like, officially thrown at me and thrown to my attention that, you know, these little gang members out here trying to take over, was at that point in time. And I remember the dude tells us, he was like, yo, after school, 4 o'clock, by the lunch truck, West Gate, by the bread house, underneath the pier. I'm just like, what the? And I said, what's that for? I mean, I said, oh, we're going to fight. I said, hold up, did you just set an appointment? For an ass? And I look at Hector, he starts laughing. I said, my dude, if we're going to fight, it's 8:30 in the morning.
Yep.
You want to wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon? I'm going to see you about 12 times before that. And now you know what we're going to do? Point at each other's watches? So we was ready to throw down. My man's like, yo, chill. You can't get kicked out of school. You'll get in trouble.
Right.
And mind you, Chicago, if you had beef, if you weren't setting the appointment, you was whipping ass right down the spot.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, hey, talk to me later, I'll see you at the school. You were fighting in the middle of the classroom. You'd be in the middle of taking a piss. You fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And out here, when we heard the appointment, we was like, what the hell? I've never heard of that shit before. And it made us laugh. And, you know, we sat back. And at that point in time, we're thinking, we must be some badasses that we were willing to fight anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it wasn't even that. It was just, once again, we weren't used to setting appointments.
Right.
So, especially for a fight. Like, what the fuck is that? I can't understand if you were getting my tires done. Mm-hmm. I'll make an appointment with you, but fuck. So at that point in time, there was quite a few little gang members in Sunset, and once again, I like to get to know everybody. I was one of the social people in school, and one day I'm walking in my locker, and I see these three IMP dudes picking on this little kid that happened to have his locker right next to mine. So I walk up, infuriated. I'm like, oh, picking on this little gym, what the fuck? So I walk up, I said, yo, what the fuck you doing with my cousin? And they turn around, they're like, oh, shit, is your cousin? I said, yeah, it's my fucking cousin, man, you better get off him. And the dude looked at me, he was like, oh, you got lucky your cousin showed up. And right there, kind of pissed me off more, because that just meant that I kind of made it worse for Shorty. You know what I mean? Because now when he's by himself, he's going to try to, act all hard rock, because I'm not going to be around. So I told Shorty, I said, yo, my dude, if you ever got any trouble, man, you come and let me know, I'll take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Shorty took that shit to heart. Because the next day, apparently, he got brave with him. I was like, yo, I'll get my cousin on you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I got dude walking up on me like, yo, cousin. And I'm like, okay. You know, what was going on here? And his mother was like, yo, we'll have you just for sure. Yo, it's mad cool. Anything you need, we got your back. And I'm like, well, cool, no problem. And this was going on for weeks, where everybody was just like, yo, you know what? We see how you are with these people, and we saw how, like, you know, you defended this kid for no reason. And I told everybody this, even before this whole don't bully thing was cool, we was doing that. This is why, you know, half of the shit that we did started off was because we were protecting these little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we came from Chicago, so we, you know, my mom wanted to get away from that gang shit. So when it first came and we started seeing it out here, it wasn't a gang that we put together. It was just a group of dudes that didn't want gangs around. So I was, you know, we were walking around. People were like, yo, you're hard. And back then, you know, when you call somebody hard, it was like, you were the shit.
Yeah.
So it just so happened, I'm sitting in the living room, and the fucking commercial, the Camel commercial for the cigarettes comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole bunch of Camels playing pool with Justin leather jackets, and it said the hard pack. And I looked, I was like, yo, that shit is gangster. I was like, you know what? We call ourselves a hard pack.
Right.
So we, mind you, it was just a group of kids just, once again, just eating shit, fucking around. It was a school thing. Started calling ourselves hard pack and, you know, joking around. We was jumping people in. Not like we was whipping their ass. We were just like, draw the light and just like, bomb, 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 you know, 2 seconds real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hands thrown and throw the light. Boom, you're part of hard pack. But we talking about some of the nerdiest kids you would ever see. Like, these kids are walking in, let me take off my glasses and put my book back down before we get this ass whooping going. and we in there just, we gaming it up, because once again, we weren't taking this no serious shit.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, these gang members were like, y'all think you got a crew? Your crew, me, my crew after school, we're going to fuck you up. So we're like, you know what, bet it up. Now, mind you, I already know everybody, so I was like, yeah, you ain't scaring me. So boom, I'm walking out to school, I'm walking outside. And, you know, in school, you know, when you're in school, the gossip goes around. So everybody's like, oh, I'm going to watch this. And we're walking out of class, and I remember this shit. I'm walking up, and I got Jamie Green with me. I got half of the football team with me. We're walking out, and I look, and I see Eric. I see Paul. I see a bunch of cats. And mind you, we're all in the same school, so we know all the same cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And we know each other. We cool, but we ain't never hung like that. We were never like boys like that, you feel me?
Right.
We just knew each other. We knew, you know, everybody respected each other. And we walking up, and I remember Eric tells me, he's like, yo, I hear you got beef, let's do this. I'm like, word, more dudes, let's make this happen. And I remember that, because I was like, yo, my man barely know me like that, and that shows love right there, you feel me?
Yeah.
But we all in the same school, and these cats ain't from our school, so let's go handle this. I remember we walking up, and there's like maybe 20, 30 IMP members outside of the school. Parking their little cars, standing there looking hard rock. And they're looking at me with my little crew, because we're walking a little bit faster, so maybe there's like five or six of us up front, but the whole rest of the school is walking towards them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're thinking school's just out, people just don't watch the fight. When we walked up to step to them, they notice, wait a second, this is the whole school.
Right.
They're like, yo, what the hell's going on? I remember my dude, Heavy D, walked up and was like, yo, we're going to talk. If you guys are going to throw hands, now's your time, or forever, you know, forever hold your peace. I remember one of the dudes swang, and I was like, oh, this dude actually swang on him? All of a sudden, Heavy D just picked him up and threw him up against the car, and we over here just whipping ass, and all half of them up their squad ran, and we're holding down some dudes, and we sitting there rumbling. And after that day, I was like, word. I said, you know what? Cats out here, they bought it. They're holding down. This was a crazy-ass experience. This shit was wild. I can't wait to go to school the next morning and see these cats again. You feel me?
Right.
And so when we started going back and forth, like I said, that's my first real interaction where, you know, with Eric and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
My brother comes up to me. I'm just like, yo, I got these cats. You know, they're doing a hip hop thing. They rhyming. They like my style.
Mm-hmm.
Want me to be down? And at this time, you know, everybody's got their own crews. Everybody's got their own little teams. You know, my brother Hector and I, along with Pretty Joey, you got motherfucking Brigante, White Sands. We already had our crew called Underwear Elements. Us five were tied, you know, thick as thieves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, we would go up and down. We would spray paint. You know, I had like 18 different names. Back then it was, I called myself Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was riding up, and then I went from Chaos to Face.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the A team, he used to switch up his character so much and become different people that I loved that. So I was like, fuck, I'm going to be Face.
Right.
From A team. And I started writing up Face.
And Underworld and Underworld Elements came after Hard Pack, correct?
Underworld Elements, it didn't come after Hard Pack. It was in the same transition.
Gotcha.
It was just Hard Pack was the mafia people, mm-hmm. and UE was just us tight knit, us five. You know, if you're going to go out and do something, we would never bring anybody from the outside in.
Gotcha.
Because you never know, we're going to snitch you out. So, you know, he was just that tight knit of five people that we would do our dirt and our thing just to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Hard Pack was a school thing. Was, you know, when you went to school, you became a part of a whole different thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where giving yourself protection outside of school, and then what you did outside of school was nobody's business.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, when we first had UE, once again, I wasn't rhyming. I wasn't rapping it up. You know, my brother was. And my brother, I remember my brother had his book of rhymes, and he would sit there and rhyme. He'd be like, yo, what do you think about this? Or, you know, what do you think about that? And, you know, I had the opportunity to hear this dude from start from the beginning to where he's at now. And I know it sounds pretty stupid, but, you know, especially the others that are listening, but I was my brother's number one fan, like his music, his style. All my family is gangsters, gangsters. All they'll ever be is gangsters, gangsters. They all hustlers, a lot of them are murderers. Plenty of suspended in time and serving terms. Like big, come on, tell me what your life is worth. Drug dealing all day, acting like it's worth. But old dogs can't learn new tricks, that's sad to see. My personal tragedy, family tree. Y'all fucking my head up, man. I love y'all, but y'all fucked up. You understand? I'ma do this shit right. Yeah. I love my fam, I keep them close as I can. Even though I don't agree with their plans, I understand. You just gotta do what you have to before life grabs you by the balls and kills all of y'all. Damn, I got a big old tree, I mean literally. About 60 cousins having kids continuously. 18 aunts and uncles who just got the hustle. Professional liars, dog, always got rebuttal. See my father and his brother, ex-Latin kings. Man, that always made me wonder why they had to be. It was crazy, but that life's such a tragedy. I don't remember gangsters ending life happily. Too many cousins is locked up for trafficking. A lot locked for nothing, police harassing them. I had a cousin that was not in the gang. Got killed with baseball bats, they splattered his brains. So my father and his brother killed in lanes. That's how I got my name. That's why to this day I say that all my family is gangsters, gangsters. Once again, it was personal because of everything he was rapping about, not only did I know about it, I lived it with him. I was alongside him for every one of those stories. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
So hearing him do it, hearing him spit it, I was sitting there smiling because I was like, yeah, I was there. I was a part of that. Or, yeah, I remember this. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So it made it so much more personal that I became a humongous fan.
Right.
And I remember the day he walked up to me and was like, yo, I'm going to go to this meeting. These cats, they're doing music, they're on the right level, I want to fuck with them, what do you think? And at first, I was a little hesitant. I was like, yo, my dude, yo, you know, we UE. This is what we, you know, if anybody can do it, you can do it on your own. I had that much love and, you know, faith in my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, I need a crew that can help me. I need beats, I need this, I need that. I'm like, you know what? Let's see what they're about. You know, go to your meeting, tell me what you think. And at that point in time, like I said, I didn't really, it's not that I didn't care about it. It's just, she was going to another crew to do their thing. I was like, yo, go do your thing. You tell me how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, you know, anything fucks up, you come let me know. I know these cats, but I don't know these cats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my brother came home that night and was like, yo, these motherfuckers are official. They got meetings. Every Wednesday, they have to show up to this and be there at this time. And, you know, Eric is the head of everything, and he's letting everybody know what to do. And he's doing his mixtapes. He's doing his parties. And the good part about being in high school, you know all the parties that are popping off. So I had opportunities to show up to the things that, you know, ESM was spinning at.
Mm-hmm.
And where the crowd was at. So I love the guy's music, and I love the guy's vibe. And I'm like, all right, cool, you know. And I remember he was like, yo, we're gonna actually record a track, we're actually gonna do this, we're actually gonna do that. And I was like, yo, I wanna see this. I wanna be by the side of this.
You're listening to the Family Ties podcast series, A Crazy Hood Story. We also want you to check out Drink Champs and all its affiliated podcasts like Thugged Out Thursdays, A Drug Dealer's Dream, and many more that are being added to the network. So check us out at drinkchamps.com. Also check us out at crazyhood.com. And stay tuned for new episodes of Family Ties dropping every week.
One of the biggest things is when it came to UE, we didn't have organization. Mm-hmm. So we saw each other every day. There was what the fuck was the point of a meeting? You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So to him, it was a different structure. There was you know, actually management there. There was someone who actually gave a fuck. And if you didn't do your rhyme, if you didn't show up to the studio, he was walking up on you like, you better have a goddamn note from your mom saying why you didn't, you know, right, why you didn't show up to the fucking meeting. I didn't know these things. And it became one of those things where I was like, damn, yo, my man's a dictator, dude. So you better be careful with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Hacking would tell me, he's like, nah, yo, he's just about his business. Like, if you ain't about it, if you ain't going to do it, don't even come around, my man, because he's going to shoot you down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started getting that mad respect from, was from the things Hector would tell me. Because once again, I see Eric every single day, but I would never come to him about the music. And that was my brother's side of it, you feel me? But we would always meet up at the same parks, and we had each other's backs. His crew had my crew's back. My crew had his crew's back. And the best part about it is our crews knew other crews.
Yeah.
So that's how easy it was for us to gather. You know, if you were going to get into a rumble, it was so easy for us to gather 15, 30, 60 dudes out of nowhere because everybody had their own crews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe that's why everybody was so, like, I don't want to use the word scared of us because, once again, we weren't going around terrorizing people. We just didn't want nobody trying to terrorize us in our own neighborhood. So everybody wanted to protect themselves.
Right.
And I know that because of, and I'm not saying that in any fucked up way, especially to anybody who's listening, especially all those old school cats that, you know, the group in Sunset during our time, people know this. We eliminated, there was no more IMPs or gangs in our school whatsoever for my final years of Sunset.
Mm.
That shit was cleared the fuck out. Everybody ran over to Braddock, everybody went over to Killian. And, you know, we prided ourselves on it. Once again, we didn't take it outside of school, even though we always found beef outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one day, my little, you know, Hector running up on me. Hector gave me a hug. He was like, yo, my dude, you saved my life. I'm like, I was just taking a shit. I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, yo, these cats pulled up in the van, ran up on me, this and that, whatever. They were about to jump me. And the last dude came out, he was like, oh, wait, you're Orlando's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is when he told me that story, I went back to school the next day. I was still pissed off that they even had the balls to jump out on my brother. So I stepped to the dude. He was like, yo, I apologized to him. We got back in the van. Nobody touched him. He's like, don't worry about it. I said, yo, my dude, I find that y'all do that shit again to anybody in my hood, anybody in my block. All y'all do is jump people. Y'all ain't about this one-on-one. If y'all can fight, fight one-on-one. Y'all like to do 17-on-1, so that's why you're going to get your ass whooped every time.
Yeah.
Because you're with a bunch of pussies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... That, you know, and that's what made us change up so much, is that we were getting annoyed by that shit.
I don't want to resort to the metal Hail Mary instrumental. I hit Pac and my mic was screaming. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. The sweetest revenge for me is to make it a shine on you pussy. I set out with the old shit, in with the new thing. Dark as a motherfucker, color of my moon ring. My mind digital, always stay focused now. Steady, dry, heavy, but this my favorite go around. Love it when it's showtime. Pump the adrenaline, feeling like a kid again. Pass me a mescaline, nigga, I'm a man now. No more pants down, no need for gloves now. No more mask out, grind to your bones, show foolproof cash route. Do it for the fam, I'm nobody's cash cow. Hold up, we still here, niggas ask how. You gon' have to learn that on your own, you assed out, niggas. It's a struggle that I rap about. Not fashion or bricks in the trap house. No bends, no rolls, no glass house. Just a real MC who lyrically spaz out. See, I'm trying to make duckies with no.
And now that we are, you know, we were happy as fuck that now at this point in time, everybody was getting along, dude. All the cliques were getting along. Hector was doing this shit with Eric. Meeting Dre. You know, me and my man Dre. You know, we used to be in the hallways of Sunset doing the fucking Color Me Bad tracks in the middle of the hallways with Vlad singing in the background. My dude, I knew I couldn't sing.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
But being with these dudes and, you know, Drain, the talented ass dude, my dude Vlad, we were sitting there singing, serenading bitches while they were walking down the hallway. We'd go to bitches' houses after school, sit there, sing the bitches and shit, and you know, they were loving it. You know, we had, as kids, my dude between right now, had a grand old time. You know, it gave an opportunity for... This is how we gained great friends. We did the stupidest shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Sit back and we can still laugh about it to this day, mm-hmm. as far as the dumb shit that we did. But, you know, the people that I know the longest and the people that I had the most opportunity to do the craziest shit with was my fam at CHP.
Mm-hmm.
Was the fact that, you know, when I started first getting myself a little bit more involved into Hector's music, showing up to his studio sessions, we'd be there for hours, 15 deep in the middle of the studio, smoking out, drinking, listening to his record. And back then, you know, that's how you did it. You showed love. Everybody was in the studio. Nobody was solo. You never had a chance. You were never alone in the studio. Someone
right.
was always in the vibe in which you're giving you the feedback, heads up. You know, Eric would come in, listen to the whole entire thing. And I remember he told me, he was like, yo, man, You need to be helping your brother. And I remember telling him, I was like, yo, how you want me to help him? Like, write his rhymes? I can't do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
My man's like, no, you need to help promote him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to help him, his name out there, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do a street team, and we're going to do this, and we're going to put this, and we're going to so that way everybody gets to fly, everybody gets to listen. At first, I was like, that sounds like some work.
Right.
You want me to go walking around and handing out flyers and shit? Like, what the fuck?
It's hella hot in Miami, man.
Oh, my dude, you have no idea. And then the block she wanted you to walk, you're like, you know, this is about 3.5 miles.
This is not Chicago, man.
Oh, my dude. So, you know, we were walking down the streets, we handing out flyers, we're giving it to everybody. And, you know, it was so chaotic that after a while, you're tired as fuck. And you're like, and I got to go out tonight? I just been promoting this shit for fucking 9 hours.
Right.
Go home, get dressed, and go back to the same club I was just telling everybody to go to, or go back to the house party. Or so it became to where, because like I said, I had the gift of gab, and I knew everybody, and I would always be talking. I didn't care about the situation. I'd walk up on you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So ESM would be like, yo, I need you to go and get this guy's number. Hey, find this guy for me. Hey, do this thing for me. Hey, let's get some drops. I remember going to these big-ass fucking concerts, the big-ass events, and ESM's like, look, these are the artists that I hear. I want everybody to do a drop. So you see Paul and also run off One Direction. Myself and my brother run off in another direction. You know, you had Eddie running off in another direction with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we all come back. We all had recorders. So we all come back with drops and shit. And friendly competition. Or who'd you get? You know, Paul went with Mobb Deep. And, you know, back then, my dude, not for nothing, but this crew has given me the opportunity to meet and hang out and associate with some of the biggest names in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yo, my dude, you don't know how crazy it is that you grow up listening to Big Daddy Kane's music. You grow up listening to Run DMC. You grow up listening to, you know, the Outkasts, and having a time, an opportunity to actually meet them cats, sit in front of you, smoke one with them, you know. It's insane. It blows your mind because they're mad cool. They're human beings.
Right, yeah.
But when you see them on stage and you're seeing their thing, they're superstars to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what actually gave us, and I think that's why to this day, I've never taken a picture of any artist. The only person I actually have a picture with that I even remember right now is Biz Markie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That was one of the pictures that EFN threw up for his old school shit when we were in the middle of Birdines.
Okay.
It was called Bird Eyes, doing a promotion for Echo. Biz Markie came in. I was like, holy shit, the Biz?
Right.
Like, yo, my dude's starstruck. Like, holy shit.
Right.
And, you know, I remember Eric coming up to me. He was like, yo, we're going to start promoting mad record labels so we can get music early before everybody else does. And, you know, give an opportunity. It's hard to get music out here. So he started doing that, and we started promoting some of the biggest record labels. Right? You know, that's another. You know, we're hearing music before any other cats, and you know, hearing EFN spinning before anything. So he was breaking. He was the one breaking music to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit, I'm hearing like, oh shit, that shit is. Oh, wait, where'd you get that from? He'll show me the artist, and boom, you end up having a new artist that you like. And it gave me the opportunity to go to every single barber shop, every single fucking record store.
Mm.
Me and Eddie were there putting up poster boards, putting up all kinds of shit. And, you know, we would hit up everything from the flea markets on down. Me and Eddie hitting up the street teams. He'd be in the middle of the night putting totem pole and the poster boards all the way to the top of the lights in the middle of the hallway, in the middle of the highway and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Taking hours to do it up, having fun with it, though. Like, the guerrilla marketing, some things you miss about it, except for the work of it. You feel me?
Right.
Other than that, the attention, the way that you got it done, and the shit we used to do, and how we used to see it, used to bring smiles to our faces when we were on our way to meet that.
And that person, the person interaction as well. We've spoken about it too. It's like that's missing. You know, that's missing a lot.
Oh,
in,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Right now, I can sit back and I can put a song that I like on Instagram and post it up, but it was nothing like going up to people and hearing what they like
right.
about that artist.
Right.
Walking up on people and finding out, hey, listen, you know, letting them know about a new artist or letting them hear a new track for the first time. That reaction was ill. Because
mm-hmm.
you get to actually see what people thought. You get to actually, you know, there's nothing like looking at someone's eyes and finding out whether or not they actually like that artist rather than hearing bullshit. You feel me?
Because yeah.
nowadays you got so many cats, and once again, that you ask them what it is they like about the artist, they say the stupidest shit like their hair. Oh, I like his hair, or I like his, you know, the way he walks is cute. Now, what the fuck are you talking about? This is about lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the man's story. If I can't vibe with your story, I can't fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, you turn on the radio, I feel like I'm out the fucking loop. I've been hearing stuff, I'm like, I don't understand this fucking song for shit.
Right.
I don't understand a single fucking lyric. I don't understand his slang. I don't understand any of this. So I shut it off real quick. I didn't even give it an opportunity.
Yeah.
But back then, we had artists like Nas. We had artists like Slick Rick. But the minute, I don't remember a single time when I put on a Nas album that I ever fast-forwarded anything. We found it to be disrespectful if you took it and you fast-forward any fucking track on a Nas album, on a Wu-Tang album, any album of artists that are actually significant, you'll never fast-forward that shit. You would actually let it ride out from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember EFN coming up on being, we're going to do some skits.
Yeah, WCHP Hood Radio. This DJ do it all over the goddamn world. I got my man and I. Who are you? Tell me who you are, kid.
Yeah, this is MC What It Is, What It Is.
Yeah, he's bubbling in the hood right now. Had to get him on the radio. Hey, tell the kids what your first single is in case they don't know who you are, man.
Maybe y'all heard it. Maybe y'all didn't hear it, but you know, short things bubbling. I got the first single, Fly That. That's popping.
Fly That.
And then I got the new one following up. Don't call me. Just text. You know, send me a text message.
Send me a text. I don't want to talk to you.
Send a text message. Send a text message. My man
send
knows. He's on the game.
Hey, listen. Tell the people where you from. What you rap, kid?
No, I'm from on the block, B. I'm from right here. Son, we rapping 305. Uh-huh. And you know, I'm pulling up nice with my Ferrari. I got the jewels doubling. I got my pinky ring, pinky.
Uh-huh. I see you got the good belt on.
Yeah, I got the good belt. You know what I'm saying? I got it all. Okay. You know, I'm fabulous. Bro.
Okay,
I'm
fabulous. Okay.
We're going to do this before the... You know, we had so much fun with all the shit that we were doing. I look at this man like, yo, my man's a genius, yo.
Yeah.
And it would be some of the funniest shit. And the best part is he would make sure everybody was involved. That was one big thing about the crew. Because if you were part of the crew, you were involved one way. Either you were promoting... You were DJing. You were responsible for the records. You were responsible. You were an artist. You were making the beats. Like everybody had that position. Nobody. You know, one thing about E is he didn't want nobody to be looked at as a groupie or a roadie or right. Someone who just tagged along. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Like you had a position. You had a job. My man would give you a title, not because. You know, that you would get paid for it or anything crazy. He would give you a title so that, you know, you would feel as important as anybody else in the crew, my dude. You feel me?
Right.
And
yeah.
Believe it or not, as a jit, it's important to that. Because you don't want to be just looked at. Like I said, remember, you know, when I said to you guys I was the Charlie Murphy of the group because of my brother.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I can laugh that off. I don't mean it in any disrespectful way to myself.
Yeah.
I mean it as, not for nothing, you know. I was the comedian and the dude that got in and everybody knew him because his brother was the rapper. Mm-hmm. But at the same exact time, when it came down to it, I had the opportunity to promote my brother.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to go not only see every single one of his shows, but promote every single one of his shows, talk to people afterwards, see what they liked about it, make sure they remain fans. You feel me?
Yeah.
And you know, at this point in time, I remember a friend came up and was like, we're about to start doing pirate radio.
Mm.
I said, well, shit, cool, because there's a lot of pirate radio I listen to right now. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And being E a fan up in the radio station, I remember one day, it was just me and E. And my man's like, yo, we got to do something. I'm like, well, I got to spice this up. I got these tracks. And my man was like, we're going to do a freestyle competition.
All right.
All this call in, you know, whatever the hell. And I'm like, yeah. I said, you know what, E, I'm going to freestyle against him. He looked at me like, you're going to freestyle? Okay. No problem. You know, go for it. I want to see this. And that, mind you, once again, this isn't what I do. It was just something we were just joking around.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When you're with the crew, you know, when everybody's drunk,
yeah.
All of a sudden the cypher started, you jumping in that bitch. Whether you rhyme or not, you was jumping in.
Exactly.
So at this point in time, you know, calls in, I remember I did this one verse. And not that I'm saying the verse was so inspirational, but it was just funny that it came out with that little Twista vibe on it. And mystical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was spinning it real fast, and I remember Radio Fest grabbing the mic. It was like, we got Mystical in the house. Let's see who can fall in. Freestyle against Mystical. We'll see who the champion is. And cats are calling in to freestyle against me, thinking we was Mystical. I'm in there spitting and doing the shit. And you're going to be like, oh, Mystical won this one. And, you know, fucking around. And we did that shit so many times. You know, I felt bad because so many cats will call in to freestyle against me, thinking they were freestyling against fucking Mystical. You know, then I was dying laughing, man.
That's like, hilarious.
But to us, it wasn't that we was disrespecting the fans and that we was trying to pull wool over that. We did it off of pure fun.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And I remember the first time, you know, Outkast came to the radio station and we did an interview with Outkast. I was just sitting there like, no, these are the fucking aliens. It was like, these motherfuckers, this is the shit right now. Outkast was, when it first came out, everybody was like, yo, these motherfuckers is a badass from, you know, from Atlanta. And, you know, they came down, they came to the radio station, showed love. You know, I was in shock, and I'm like, yo, this is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is how you know there's certain moments in life where you sit back and be like, I chose the right path.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And that was it right there. Like, yo, I'm meeting these cats. They're mad humble. Everybody's mad cool. You know, I remember Eric was like, yo, we about to go to California and go to one of these music conventions.
Mm-hmm.
You coming with me? And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm coming with you. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would plan the illest trips, but off the whim. Even though we would know 3 months ahead of time, the trip wasn't like detail, especially back then, you feel me? Like, there was no real detail to it. We leave it, and when we get there, we party, and we come right back. So there was no overall thing to it. You know, we get as many artists, meet as many people as we can, make sure we rep CHP, let everybody know CHP is out there, and then we could be taken from there. And I forgot where it was in Cali, but it turned out, when we got out there, it was like one of them Pimps Up, Hoes Down conventions. Like, there was purple hats and fucking canes everywhere.
Right.
And me, I remember I was walking down, and I remember when we first got there, they handed us this big-ass bag of mixtapes, CDs of every artist you could think of, from newbies to whatever it is, to t-shirts and sunglasses. Like, my dude, I'm talking about these big-ass duffel bags full with shit. And EFS like, yo, you know I ain't carrying that shit. I said, yo, fuck that, E, I'm taking your bag then.
Right.
So I got my bag, I got E's bag, I got an extra bag in my back, and I'm like, yo, we're going in the room. And at this point in time, I'm like, yo, I need to smoke something, man. E's looking at me looking like, my dude, you're not going to spend no fucking 5 hours on a mission looking for no shit. We got work to do, let's make this shit happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, shit, this, you know.
Yeah.
This is going to drive me a little crazy. And we in Cali, there's got to be something to smoke.
Right.
So I remember I'm walking through, and I remember that when I first came in with my bag, the motherfucking bellhop in the beginning was like, yo, let me get one of them CDs. And I kind of ignored him and kept it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I said, fuck this. You know what? I walked back up to the man. I said, yo, my dude, listen, I'm looking for some trees. You find me some trees, I'll hook you up with CDs, T-shirts. This man said, give me 25 minutes. My dude, I'm waiting in the room. EFN is laughing at me. He's like, you know this dude is not coming back. And I'm like, yo, he's coming. All of a sudden, you get a knock on the door. This guy brought an ounce of the stickiest shit I've ever seen in my life. My man pulls out a little bit of weed. I hand him a couple of CDs. He was like, if I give you a little bit more, you give me a little bit more? Mm-hmm. I said, my dude, I'll stop when you stop. My man hands me the whole bag. He hands me the whole ounce. I gave him the whole bag of CDs and, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
I remember EFN was like, well, hold up. EFN got a CHP mixtape. Put that shit in the bag. The bag had at least 300 CDs in it, my dude. At least.
Right.
I remember EFN walked up. He was like, this is the most important one. Just put it right on top. Yo, my dude, I was dying. My man's like, even more? I'm like, yo, this shit was hilarious, my dude.
This is hilarious.
But I'm feeling these big-ass busts. We walking through the hallways trying to be cool and shit. And I remember meeting all these new artists that were coming out that back then, when we first met them, they weren't anybody. You feel
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this point in time, you know, meeting these cats, and everybody's trying to hold their own. Everybody's trying to be, you know, my crew is better than your crew. And, you know, at that point in time, especially back then, we keep talking early 2000s, my dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was, you had to hold your own, you feel me?
Yeah.
And being here family right now for just two dudes out of Cali in that big ass convention, we held it down. We made sure motherfuckers knew CHP was there. And that's when I knew that I wanted to make sure I was at every single one of these things.
Yeah.
You know, he makes things so fun. Yes, it's work. Yes, it's business.
Yes.
But it's hip hop.
Right.
So it's fun. You feel me? Like, once again, my dude, meeting your favorite artist, my dude, I grew up off these cats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, seeing a Biggie Smalls concert for the first time was crazy, was dope, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that before my man passed.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Big Pun, meeting Big Pun,
it's crazy.
Going to New York for the Puerto Rican parades, you know, on the same floats as Fat Joe, like, you know, believe it or not, once again, we jits.
Yeah.
We, you know, we're 18, 19, 20, you're the same age as these cats.
Mm-hmm.
But they on TV, super famous, and you're rolling with them. You feel me? That to me was the shit. That to me is what made me fall in love with the whole entire thing, man.
Right. And getting to know them a little bit, too, you know, and the more you see them, the more you interact with them.
Yeah, I mean, look, not for nothing, we, you know, excuse me, when we first had the opportunity to meet up with Nori, you know, at this point in time, he's got that song out, T-O-N-Y, Invade and Y, Multiply, Kill a Cop, me and you, you got beef, I got beef.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, we were like, yo, gangster. Like, that shit was hot. And having the opportunity to meet my man, my man, Nori, was mad humble, mad cool, showed mad love.
Yes,
came
yes.
to Crazy Goods, you know, when you got cats that are willing to come out their way, come to a store that you're selling clothing out of, you know, and do a drop, come by, wear your t-shirt, take pictures wearing your t-shirt. Like, we was mad humble. We was like, no, not for nothing. My man is mad cool. Anything he needs, anything he wants, when he's in Miami, we taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember your friend coming up to me and coming up to the crew was like, yo, Nori's coming back. And this time when he comes back, he's going to do a track with us. We need to make sure we show him love. We need to make sure we take good care of my mans. And I remember that time EFN had rented a Navigator.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, Orlando, me and you are going to go. We're going to pick him up from the airport. So we roll up to the airport. And this is a time where you can just walk all the way up to the gate.
Wow.
You didn't have to wait behind a little line. So me and E, we parked the car in the front, walked all the way up to the gate. EFN strapped. I got an ounce on me. He got a Hennessy on him. We get to the front of the gate, and we think we cool. I pull out. I'm like, oh, here's your weed. Yo, here's your shit. And my man's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, y'all niggas is crazy for real. You came in the airport with that shit? And we get to the car. I was laughing because I was like, damn, we didn't think that shit through at all. Like, what the fuck were we thinking? But what made that moment for me even more historical is that when Nori got on the track and actually pushed that track and was dun 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 and he came out, he was like, meet me in Miami, EFN, meet us at the airport with some guns in some hands.
Yeah, you can see me in Miami with EFN, meet me at the airport with some guns in some hands.
I was thinking, I was like, yo, that whole story was, I visited it again, I was like, yo, that was me and E. We right. walked in there, we did that, like, that shit was real. So, it once again, another reason to fall in love with it. Like, yo, you can when you can, again, envision the story, and now you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
My dude, I was like, yo, I got one of the illest artists in the game. We mentioned the story that we did with him, and you know, asking us to come on, to go to certain tours with him, and actually, you know, when we went to Orlando, we went everywhere, you know, my man was in Florida, we was right there with him. And it was mad cool that it wasn't that we were just with them because we just showed up. I'm the man that gave the personal invite. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that's why to this day, I know gets mad love, gets mad respect because my man gave it. And, you know, my man, you know, he came through when he didn't have to. He did an ill-ass track with my brother, and I always will appreciate that for what he did and for the love he showed, especially EFN, especially to my crew. Like, I always have respect for that man for that because, once again, he went above and beyond when we know he didn't have to. And at that point in time, I'm talking about, yo, my man was not only a big deal, not that he's not a big deal now. I'm saying at that point in time, when you're fresh in the water, when you're fresh face and everybody wants to be around you, everybody wants to be in your presence, to still find those that coming from another city once again. I came from New York out here to Miami. It's just so love. Ended up with a whole new family out here. Now Eno's family now. Now he's in Florida. You feel me?
Yeah.
Great camps and all. Like, you know, to us, he is Crazy Hood. Even though he's Thugged Out Entertainment, Nori is Crazy Hood. You feel me?
Right.
My man's family now. So, you know, it's crazy how humongous this industry is, how big this world is. But yet, so small, my dude. Like, I guess what it is that we grew up in the world, especially us, you know, being born in the 70s, going through the 80s, like, we were able to come up with hip-hop.
Yeah.
We were able to actually, like, when you know, for us, for me hearing, you know, LL Cool J's first time ever hearing I Can't Live Without My Radio, then I'm damn. Like, yo, I pictured myself walking down the street with my boombox in there. My radio, believe me, I like it live. My dude, that was the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, there's not one song that's new that I would rock walking down the street with a boombox on my shit, proud enough to play it like that. You feel me?
Right.
Unless it's old school hip hop.
Right.
Like, back then, people took artists, took the music, and it represented them. When you were playing the song, it showed who you were.
Mm-hmm.
When you were driving down the street back in the days and you were playing your Uncle Luke and you were playing your Trick Daddy, people would walk up and be like, all right, this is the lifestyle dude lives because this is who he's listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you walk down the street and you're playing fucking Kodak Black and you're playing all these things. People are looking at you like, oh, that's that lifestyle. They're like, oh, that's a new song.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more affiliation to it. There's no more recognition to it. You feel me? They're just artists. And I'm not trying to diss people. I'm not trying to diss these people. I'm just simply saying that things have changed so drastically, my dude, that there's not one particular group that you say, these are my fucking idols.
Yeah.
There's not one particular artist where you're like, no matter where my man goes, I'm showing up for that show. Yo, Biggie fans, it didn't matter where the fuck Biggie went. Dude, when I first went to go see Biggie Smalls, I drove 2.5 hours from where I was to go see my man because that's the closest he was getting. You feel me?
Yeah.
Nowadays, they come and tell me, hey, listen, this lady's going to be up the block. I'm like, that's off the block. That's way too far for me.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah. It's
Nobody's running to these artists anymore, my dude. And that's sad because, once again, we used to love that shit. We used to go above and beyond, go to every single show that was out here. It didn't matter what artist was. He was coming out to Miami, we was going to the show. Now it's like, oh, they're here again, or oh, this guy's coming down. Okay, cool. I'll upload it on Apple soon. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. For real.
Yeah, it's true. So, what does loyalty mean to you?
Loyalty is about alliance, my dude. And that's what breaks down the alliance to me, the ALL. Like, loyalty straight up is my family, my dude. It is CHP. That's the one thing about this crew that I'm proud of the absolute most, my man.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one thing. We can clown each other all we want to. We can sit back because we still, at the end of the day, we all still best friends. We all still brothers. And just like with your brothers and your boys, everybody clowns around. Everybody talks shit. But don't be an outsider trying to repeat what we say to each other.
Right.
Because then you offend everybody in the crew. And that's what I love about my team. They're loyal to a fault, because these dudes, one thing about each other, my dude, we got each other's back. Yeah. Whether we're around or not, we'll defend each other. You feel me?
Yeah.
And given the opportunity, my dude, it only gets better in time. Like, I've grown to love these cats, you know. In the beginning, meeting all these new people, you know, meeting Garcia, who right now to me is one of the illest video makers out. I'm so proud of my man. Like, you know, Boris to me, legit when I met this little man.
Mm-hmm.
Big ass baby Huey dude.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing and promoting with Eddie, did his thing, and now my man's making some of the illest beats. Like, you can't be proud of your family, dude. It's like watching your little brother walk for the first time. It's like, you know, it gives you so much pride to see these cats doing such big things. You know,
yeah.
I fell in love with Adrian's beats from the very beginning of meeting that dude. You know, the way EFN does his management, the way he puts people together, the way Paul's loyalty, and Paul is like the enforcer of the rules of the group. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
it gives you an opportunity to, when you look at every single person and as an individual and see what they've done individually for CHP, you know, it's amazing that the fact that we can still all come together, meet up at the most random spot, the most random day, have a reunion is what we like to call it, even though
right.
a reunion makes it sound like we've been, we're not together all the time.
Yeah.
But we call it a reunion because it's just the dudes. We can go, we can just laugh. We bring up old shit. Like, I love that, dude. It doesn't matter even if 5 years went by. We can come back and tell an old school story, and it's like we never left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the most important thing about our crew is loyalty, because everybody will call you out on that. Nobody in our crew has hair on their tongue to not push that word and make sure that each and every one of us is loyal to each other. You feel me?
Yeah. You always pick up where you left off.
Hell yeah, man. Once again, you know what? Family. That's it, man. These are my brothers. It's not a question of which one is a closer friend, which one is this. We're brothers. So,
yeah.
You know, even though, yes, each one of us has our closer person in the clique.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once we're together, dude, there's no one man above the crew. That we love each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why one thing about CHP, my dude, is that I know another 25 years later we can do this again. Because they kids are my kids. You know, they, you know, we treat each other's kids and nieces and nephews. But dude, we got so many nieces and nephews. It's insane.
Right.
Every single month is somebody's birthday. Every single month is, you know, so that's another thing. Like, dude, this lifestyle doesn't leave you.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't leave you whatsoever. You feel me? And that's mm-hmm. what I love about this crew, man.
How did you get the name Landy Lakes?
That little embarrassing. Once again, since my name is Orlando.
Yeah.
My grandmother, man, she didn't like the name Orlando. She was, you know, she was. Call me Landy, and it just stuck. And you know, I was a little kid, and I would never want to tell nobody that shit. I would never want to tell nobody my name is Landy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But when it came down to the crew, since they were always around, they had my mom say it, they had my brother say it. So, you know, when they were first started saying it, remember that Lando Lakes butter?
Mm-hmm.
So when, I forgot what it was, but one day somebody was like, oh, like Lando Lakes butter? And I'm like, Lakes. Landy Lakes. I said, you know what? And it just stuck. So from that point forward, it was just Landy Lakes, where it came down to just Lakes. To where if you weren't part of the family, you weren't part of the crew, you didn't know anything about us, you didn't know who I am, you know me as Lakes. But for those who call me Landy, that means I know you, that means you've been around for a minute, it means you know exactly who I am, you know the real me.
Right.
So, you know, everybody in the crew, especially CHP, they call me Landy. My family members call me Landy. My friends call me Lakes. And those who are even more of a distance call me Orlando.
Got you.
There's so many ways to break that shit down.
Nah, but it makes complete sense, though. It makes absolute sense.
Once again, you know, one thing they said it best is you can't make up your own name. You can't.
No.
You can't label yourself and expect everybody to just say it. You got to either earn that. Or, you know, or you gotta call yourself Fuzzy Bunny, right? Pick it up, you feel me?
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, like I said, it was one of those names that it just stuck. To this day, I use Lakes. You know, I introduced myself as Lakes, never as Landy.
Right.
You know, we had an opportunity. Like I said, every single one of us has formulated our own companies, have done our own thing. Even though we're all CHP,
mm-hmm.
we all have our own businesses. We all own our own things.
Yeah.
You know. And that's another thing I'm proud of is that you would look at us and think, yo, these thug-ass dudes, like, but half of my cast, you know, not only half the cast are brilliant, but once again, business owners, you know, have straight families. And, you know, that's another thing to be proud of is that we're not high school dropouts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're not on the street slang and shit. You know, back in the days, that was cool, but reality, my dude, we grown-ass men. Mm-hmm. Everybody got their hustle. Everybody does their own thing. But, you know, right now, you know, I do videography and photography for the Green Mile Company, which I'm proud of. You know, it's another thing that was able to trickle down off of CHT.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, you got Garcia doing his music videos. You got EFN, you know, doing the Drink Champs and Coming Home and all these great projects that, you know, one thing about CHP is you can't get rid of us because so many of us are doing so many different things that we're still going to be a part of this world regardless. And we all integrate every single thing that we do in our outside lives of CHP still has to do with CHP.
Right.
Because it's where everything originated from, you feel me?
Yeah.
But cats come up to me all the time and they're like, yo, you know, have you heard from these guys? You know, how's CHP doing? I'm like, have I heard from them? Every fucking week. Every 3 days, we're on a big-ass group text message coming at each other about some the next big thing or the next thing, you know, the next EFN great idea. So, you know, one good thing, we always kept in the loop. And even though I don't show up to every event, even though I don't show up to every Jink Champs,
mm-hmm.
The best part about it is I don't have to be there for my fans to still show me love.
Yeah.
I don't have to be there for the fans to actually still acknowledge that we're still part of it. You feel me?
Yeah.
So that to me is to kind of end your loyalty.
Right.
Conversation. That's how you know, my dude, that once again, you ain't got to be around to still have that love. That's how you know it's family. To me, this was meant to be. As I tell the story, as I'm expressing it to you and I'm visualizing it unfold
mm-hmm.
from beginning to end, every single thing was meant to be, dude.
Yeah.
Every single thing was meant to be. These cats were meant to be a part of my life. I was meant to be a part of their life.
Yeah.
You know, it fell together so perfectly, my dude. Nobody in our crew had to try to be down with anybody in our crew. Like, when you got there, if it was love, it was love. You feel me? No one had to put an extra effort into it.
Right.
No one had to go outside the box just to be down with us.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And to this day, ain't nobody ever go outside above and beyond to catch attention from anybody in our crew. Everybody already earned that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody's already earned it.
So on that topic, what are your thoughts on the crew today and moving forward?
I've never been more impressed, man. And even though this is my family, these are my brothers, these are my peoples, when I see them, you know, when I have an opportunity to be around them, I feel blessed because these are cats that, once again, listening to them on the radio, watching the show on TV, you know, being able to turn on Revolt TV and see my man pop up on TV. It's insane how you can sit back and watch your man do something that everybody else is sitting back like, yo, I wish I was there. I want to, you know, and knowing that you had the opportunity to pick up your bags and actually just show up,
mm-hmm.
not having to have to call nobody, not having to try to set anything up. You can just show up, my dude. I love it. Me personally, like I said, I've never been more proud of my clique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has their own way of shining. Everybody has their own thing. And not everybody that's in CHP is always on camera. You feel me?
Yeah.
There's so much more to CHP than just what you see on camera, my dude, from behind the scenes to promoting to just, even if you're just a dude like me that's just family.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their role, my dude. Everybody's got, you know, and one thing that I love about CHP is every single one of us is proud of every other person.
Yeah.
And I mean, my brother got his pizza shop, you know, heck, he got his pizza shop. I'm proud of that, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, EFN is holding his shit down always. You know, Charlie always holding himself down. Drain also, you know, of course, you got Garcia, once again, with his music videos, my man, the ill genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I give my man mad props, Borat on the beat. Like, you know, it's for each and every single person, as you look at them as an individual, you see how important they are to the family. You see how important they are to the group. And without that one in particular individual, certain things wouldn't have happened for CHP. You know what I'm saying? And that's, like I said, that's why I love every single one of my dudes. I show respect and show mad respect to every single one of my dudes, man.
Yes. Bro.
And happy cats are way too crazy to be loving. I'm just Half of this cast is way too crazy to be loved. But you're crazy if you don't.
In our next episode, we meet another member of the Crazy Hood family, Rich, also known as Dro. Like most of the crew, his story starts away from Miami, but his family ties will give the all an opportunity of a lifetime. Tune in next week and listen to his story. New episodes of Family Ties come out weekly. Family Ties is a Crazy Hood production. This episode was produced by DJ EFN and myself, Jay Havana. Our theme music is titled Southwest by DJ EFN, featuring MC8, Blue, and Cam, with production by The Guild. If you like what we're doing, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps new people find out about the show. Also, check us out on Audio Boom and CrazyHood.com. Always authentic, always crazy.